Sight, lock your dreams at night. Keep an eye on spring. Run when church bells ring. It could happen to you. All I did was wonder how your arms would be. And it happened to me. Your dreams at night. It could happen to you. Look how stars are, you might stumble. Someone drops a sigh and to me.
Oh, bows of Aaron are your winning smiles endearing.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart. Because of you, my romance had its start. Because of you, the sun would shine, the moon and stars would say you're mine, forever and never to part. I only live for your love and your kiss. It's paradise to be near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can smile because of you. Because of you, the sun would shine, the moon and stars would say you're mine, forever and never to part. I only live for your love and your kiss. It's paradise to be near you like this. Because of you, my life is now worthwhile, and I can't smile. Because of you.
Imagination is funny, it makes a cloudy day sunny, makes a bee think of honey, just as I think of you. Imagination is crazy, your whole perspective gets hazy, starts you asking a daisy what to do. Silly, you go around willy-nilly. For example, I go
I'd like to call to order the meeting of the Public Tree Advisory Commission for Thursday, December 3rd, 2015. Let's have the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, justice for all.
Okay, so we'll start out with the public forum. Do we have any speaker slips?
No, Chair Haight. Right. And may we do a roll call, please?
Yes, please.
Okay. Chair Haight?
Present.
Vice Chair Messner?
Here.
Commissioner Kirby?
Here.
Commissioner Massey?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we'll do the public forum.
I've not received any speaker slips.
All right, thank you. Okay, so on our consent calendar, item 8.1.
Item 8.1 is for approval, the draft Public Tree Advisory Commission meeting minutes of October 14th, 2015.
Okay.
I guess first it's a motion to approve.
Second.
All right.
And then it's
any discussion?
It'd be all those in favor, yes, and then discussion, I guess. Isn't it?
No.
No. Okay. We have discussion and then
okay,
we vote.
Okay. I have some corrections.
Okay.
So if we go to page 13 of our packet. Drop to 7.1 chapter. You'll see first it says in red the City of Goleta's street tree planting list. It should say the City of Goleta's street tree and center divider planting list. And then it says Appendix G, and that should be Appendix E. And okay. Then, and then above that, on that same page, where you see objectives on chapter 6, drop to number 5 of objectives. It says, leverage volunteer resources for young tree planting and care. But if you look in the comments, it says not street trees. Okay, remember we were saying we were having a problem with that, so we made sure it wasn't going to be for street trees. So what the comment, what it should say is leverage volunteer resources for young tree planting in parks only. If you look at the right, it's for parks, not tree, not the street trees.
Within
city parks. That's fine.
Okay.
And then I have a question on where it says and care, because my thought there for volunteers, define care. It's so open-ended, so I'm thinking maybe we should just delete that part, but I'm just throwing that out there. Okay, that's fine. To me, when I think of and care, it could be okay.
Yeah, that's really the question, I think. Is it likely that volunteers are going to be pruning and such? Are they caring or are they just planting? I mean, they can care, but giving right. care.
Yeah, I was just thinking of liability and things. I mean, what? It's just an open-ended, that's all. I'm not, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, we're leveraging it, so we're not requiring it
okay.
as appropriate.
Two more things. Page 17, second paragraph. It says the City Council approved the street tree planting and it should say center divider list. Appendix G, it should say Appendix E.
Okay.
And last one, page 14. If you notice, chapter 7.2, that was all deleted. And there's no comment for that. And I think we need that because council will be reading a lot of this stuff and they'll want to know why and whatnot. And so my comment for that was that it was deleted for the safety, for safety and liability issues relating to nonprofit volunteers working on city streets, center dividers, and city right-of-ways. Inadequate compliance with safety regulations, licensing, liability insurance, and workers' comp. So that's my suggestion for a comment. We need to have one in there because council is going to wonder when they look at it, what happened here.
Would that be considered a change to the minutes or would that be another item?
Well, during the meeting, we talked about why we did it, and that's why I wrote this. I remember what we kind of talked about, why we deleted it. And then I realized, well, we don't have a comment on the right there about, you know, why something was deleted.
All right, we'll check the tapes and then modify it per your discussion.
Okay, well, I'm going to hand this over.
Okay.
Appreciate
it.
Because that's the general gist of what we talked about, why. But we definitely have to have something there to explain that.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Any other comments on the minutes? Okay. All right. Hearing none.
Chief, thank you. Chair Haidt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Messner?
Aye.
We approve the minutes. Commissioner Kirby?
I approve.
Commissioner Massey?
Aye.
Thank you. Item B1 is a discussion action item. It's a donation of downed redwood logs.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, the item before you is a recommendation from your body to the City Council to donate certain logs that were cut down in our redwood forest back in April of 2015 to the Cuyahoga Valley Historic Society, where they want to make some benches for donations. They're going to sell the rights to name the benches, and the city is going to collect the money and distribute it for maintenance work and other factors that go on our property that the Stowe House sits on. They're talking about $10,000 per bench, and we would keep that on deposit for future maintenance work. The trees were cut down back in April 2015. We harvested 42 different logs out of that. Some of them are already rotting because they've been sitting there so long. They're asking for 10 of those logs. I have those logs identified, and staff is recommending that your body approve this onto the City Council for their approval.
Okay. Do we have any questions for staff?
I have one. Since they came out of Stowe Park, and there does appear to be more redwood trees that will need to be cut down, can we make the stipulation that the money collected be put back in Stowe Park in some kind of restorative way, since it's such a drastic change to the overall look of the park and the history of all people that have been here since, you know, the early 1937 when they were planted. You know, people are heartbroken that the trees are going. Is there some way that we can specify that money be kept toward future improvements?
Well, probably Ms. Guy might want to step in on this one, but we're collecting the monies that they're selling the benches for to put on deposit for work that will be done on our property at La Patera Ranch, which is where Stope Park goes.
Okay.
But I don't see how we could sell the wood and then collect the money and then put it back into Stope Park. Typically, what I do with most of those stumps is just trip them up and use them for mulch and things like that.
Yeah,
so there isn't a whole lot of value to selling them.
Okay, as long as it's left on this original Stowe property.
Yeah, we do that.
Okay, that'd be terrific.
And part of the history behind this also is that in 1939, Edgar Stowe planted that redwood forest. So the Goleta Valley Historic Society believes that it's appropriate for them to have some of those logs and put it on his property or the property out there.
I also think it would be appropriate to release this information to the public because it's really heartbreaking that we're losing the trees at the park, but also that it's a full circle of it being kept at the ranch and to further that, you know, whole area out there.
Understood.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
The appropriate response would be to agree to recommend this action to the council.
You do a motion to recommend approval.
Okay. Do I hear a motion?
I make a motion to approve this.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? All right.
Thank
just
you.
Do a general.
Public comment.
Is there any public comment?
You want to object this?
Yes.
This is Amanda DeLucia from the Goleta Valley Historic Society.
Thank you, commissioners and staff. On behalf of the Goleta Valley Historical Society, we're very excited at the possibility of keeping this wood on the original ranch property. We think it's, as you mentioned, Commissioner Kirby, a full circle here, and it's really a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. If it gets chipped up and used for mulch, it goes to a good purpose. However, if we can mill this wood and repurpose it for the public to enjoy, we think it's a great benefit to the community. So we appreciate your support.
Thank you. Any other discussion?
I would like to thank the Historical Society for coming up with this idea and this recommendation.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Great. Abstentions? All right. Okay.
Okay. Item B2 is also a discussion action item. It's the Goleta Urban Forest Management Plan Review Workshop.
Okay. Well, so we're at section 9.0, if my records are correct. And as we did before, we'll go paragraph by paragraph. And I'll start out by reading the first little bit of the paragraph. And then as we have comments on that paragraph, we'll work our way through it. So under 9.0, financing recommendations, this document recognizes. Do we have any comments in that paragraph? Okay, next paragraph, while the city concentrates on a more effective management, do we have any comments?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that the last sentence in that paragraph where it says, these partnerships will be necessary to assist the city in developing the resources to implement the Urban Forest Management Plan needs to be deleted. First of all, PTAC is already developing, as it says here, implementing. So it's, I think that should just go.
I agree.
I also agree.
Okay, so we'll delete the last sentence. All right. Next paragraph, in order to support the financing. Any comments?
Yes, I have one.
Okay.
The latter part of it is it is important to understand the value that trees in general provide the community. I think value needs to be changed to benefits, because again, we come back to our mission statement that says community benefits, so it just falls in line with that. So we replace value with benefits, and then so it should say it is important to understand the benefits that trees in general provide the community, and that just still stays with our mission statement.
Okay, so benefits plural. All right. Any comments on that?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
All right, anything else to add to 9.0 before the recommendations? All right, so recommendations 9.0.1, recognize the monetary value of trees and incorporate this understanding into city's decision making. Do we have any comments?
I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We should remove monetary value and put instead environmental benefits.
Or community benefits. Again,
or community benefits.
Because that's, again, the mission statement.
Right, okay. Either one, but we don't want to bring money into this.
Okay, so what's the preferred verbiage on that?
My take would be community benefits, only because it falls in line with the mission statement. It keeps unity with the verbiage.
I'm fine with that.
Commissioner Kirby?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. 9.0.2, Goleta Urban Forestry Program funding should be sufficient to achieve the services outlined in this report. Any comments?
I have one comment. Does the city budget have a place for maintaining the trees in their budget?
Yes, it's a very large part of our budget. It's $175,000.
But I think your budget is overall larger than that. Is that from grant money, or is that all we have?
As far as I know, it's all general fund money.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, so now on to objectives. Number one, which I don't think that, is that the way those are typically worded? Yeah, okay, I guess they are. Objective number one, dedicated public financing for urban forestry be increased and sustained subject to budgetary constraints. Any comments? Okay, number two, encourage collaboration to increase buying power for urban forestry products and services.
Yeah, I have one. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with encourage collaboration, because my attitude is with who? And the city is getting its own grants, and the city alone has its own buying power. So I have trouble with that one.
I have one little question. Back about the funding, I think you take the city's population times $2 or whatever it is to maintain your urban forest. So is there any way, since our population will be increasing with the new housing that's been put in within a five-year period, I could see our city growing by at least 5,000 people. Is there any way of calculating and increasing our budget to allow for our increase in population? Is there a formula?
There hasn't been one up to now. It may come to the point where we'll need to do that to reassess how much we're spending to maintain the urban forest. But at this point, there's no correlation between population and our budget. It's more of a correlation between the amount of trees we have and the budget.
Yeah. I'm also concerned in this section that we're doing in the next few sections, and I think we were working on this in a smaller committee that it has not proceeded forward because of a loss of one of our committee members, about losing trees in development or ones that have been vandalized or damaged that have to be replaced. There's no penalty for the public to replace a tree. There's no section in this, so I think we still need to address that.
On the books, we have a replacement ratio mitigation. I know that.
Well, let me address the vandalism and taking down trees illegally. Number one, you have to catch them. If you don't catch them, you have no evidence to pinpoint anybody to find them. If we do catch them, then we either require them to replace them under a permit or they get fined. But it is right now an ordinance that they cannot, and it's in our municipal code, that they cannot remove city trees.
Okay. All right.
Now, if it's directed under a development plan, that would be a whole different item. But usually when you do new development, you include new trees in the development without removing them, at least public right-of-way trees.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so on the objectives, number two, we had encourage collaboration to increase buying power for urban forestry products and services. Mr. Morganson, can you provide any information on what this could be talking about? What kind of buying power can be used for what kind of urban forestry products and services?
Well, I think what they're trying to talk to, Mr. Chairman, is the encourage the contractual obligate or contractual arrangements with both nurseries and maintenance companies, tree trimmers, to get our best price and the best performance and of course the best price for the trees too. So I think that's what they're referring to, is just contractual arrangements. So we're not just buying them willy-nilly wherever they come up. We have an obligated price that we pay for that is through a bidding process, the lowest price.
Okay, I think I understand what you're saying, but I don't understand how that relates to collaboration.
No.
To me, collaboration would be, let's partner with the city of Santa Barbara and get a better price on our saplings or something.
Correct.
And I don't really see that being realistic.
No.
Yeah, not having wrote this, I'm just guessing.
Right.
My idea of the collaboration would be, you know, contractual arrangements.
Yeah, because collaboration, I think what you're talking about would be collaboration within the city, and I don't think that we want to, I mean, I would hope that's going on, period, and I don't really see that, you know, the police aren't buying them and Public Works is buying them and Community Services are buying them. It's just Public Works, and so I don't know that we have any collaboration like Vice Chair Messner had said. I just want to make sure we understand it, but yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
There was one incident where we did receive 250 trees from Southern California Edison. If you want to call that a collaboration, I don't know. They offered them to us, and that was done through, I'm not sure if at that time it was just Ken Knight or if it was the Goleta Beautiful, but we got 250 trees free of charge from Southern California Edison. And it was their decision to work through Ken Edison's. That could be a collaboration.
Maybe delete the wording encourage and maybe just leave, replace it with consider.
Or opportunity. Encourage opportunities. Or
I don't see that it accomplishes anything. I think it'd be better just remove it.
Well, I think it should be left in because it leaves the opportunity for people that might actually want to donate products and services.
But this is talking about buying power, not donations, which would come under a whole different thing, I would assume.
Well, maybe if we bought so many trees, they'd give us so many trees for free. All the stores are running that deal right now.
Buy one, get one. Huh?
Yeah, buy one, get one free.
Maybe consider opportunities to increase buying power. I mean, I that might be a better way to phrase it.
Yeah, because I just don't see the collaboration part of it. So
that's correct.
For me, I would say consider opportunities. Is that?
Yeah, I'm open for that.
Yeah. Okay. Is that all right with the?
Yeah, that would be good. I like that.
And maybe for the same as three.
Right. Okay. So consider opportunities to increase and to market. Okay, number four, identify and promote successful partnerships and new revenue sources. Any comments?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think where it says identify and promote successful needs to be deleted, replaced with consider, and the word new to other possible. So it should say consider partnerships and other possible revenue resources or sources. Would be my thinking.
Can you repeat that, please?
Consider partnerships and other possible revenue sources.
Thank you.
Okay, any comments?
It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay. All right. Number five, encourage more partnerships with utility companies. I think I just fixed one there.
Put the consider opportunities with the utilities companies? I don't know.
And what do we think?
Why are we calling out strictly utility companies where just before that we say consider partnerships and other new?
Well, there might be other partnerships besides utility companies that need to be considered.
Yes, that's why I said that consider the partnership should cover everything. Why we then again repeat partnerships with utility companies?
I think it might be a recognition of the Southern California Edison program that's already gone on. I agree it's somewhat redundant, but maybe it.
Fine with me. Go ahead.
I would like it left in.
Okay. So we'll go with singular on utility and plural on companies. All right. Number six, create a city tree fund to accept in-lieu mitigation payments. Do we have any comments on that?
Keep that one.
Well, I have a question for our attorney. If that seems to be bigger than something that we can we can decree.
Yeah.
Ms. Tropa, do you have anything on that?
No, but I agree. I do believe that that's something that requires a little bit more staff discussion and a recommendation that we would bring back with regard to that specific item.
Okay. Okay, well, how do we want to handle this? Do we want to strike it? Do we want to circle it and consider it at another time when we have a city attorney present?
Yeah, maybe circle it and.
How about we circle it and we confer with the attorney's office, and then at the next meeting we can come back with some suggested language?
I think that's good.
That works for me, is that?
Or striking it if that's what the recommendation is. But I'd like to confer with the attorney's office and with the planning director.
Right. Yeah,
I think
that's the way to go.
Yeah, if staff just can do that, I would like that done.
That would be fine.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Number seven, advocate for sufficient compensation to the city when city-owned trees are destroyed. Do we have any comments?
Oh, I already discussed it in my previous question earlier.
On that, we already have, as I said too, replacement ratio mitigation on the books. So, there's no need to advocate because we already have that.
That's part of the mitigation fees and such in new development projects.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Mr. Morgenstern brought out that it was already in other parts of this document, so we could strike that.
Yeah, I think we can delete covered.
Okay, so number seven will be struck out.
Okay.
Boy, we're moving with light speed.
A lot better than previous meetings.
Don't jinx us, please. I'm telling you.
All right.
Don't speak too soon.
Okay, do we have any other objectives that we'd like to add? All right, so performance standards include a section in the annual report that identifies how these objectives were met. Do we have any comments?
Yes. Do we need to have it annually? Let's not overdo the reports. Remember, we talked about that last time.
Well, I think we already have an annual report that's part of this, part of the requirements in this document, right? We're not creating one by referencing it in this performance standard. It would be, should that section be in that report? Already established that the report is going on.
This isn't a separate report. It's just.
But this section is, they have to do a report on this section to put it in there. That's what I don't see needs to be done every year. You know, go count how many trees you installed or something.
Well, this is also done by the community service director. Do we have one? And is that listed as her duties?
Well, community services director would be changed to public works director.
Oh, okay.
Rosemary.
Okay, so we need to change that.
She's not here, so we can have her do one more thing.
Sure, right? I'm sure
she'll love it.
Yeah. Okay. She's not objecting, so.
Now's your chance.
Okay, so that will be changed.
So if, Commissioner Massey, if we weren't to include it in the annual report, then do you have a suggestion on how we would accomplish that? Because this is the finances. It's, you know, it's like anything. If you don't have money, nothing happens. So to me, financing is an important part of this plan.
Well, there was and I didn't go back and check where it was. It's my fault. We were going to do some of the things every 2 years and some every 5. And it just seems like I'm trying to get less paperwork. That if everybody else wants this yearly, it's fine with me. It just seems like we tend to want to do a report on everything every year, and I think that's a waste of staff's time when they could be doing something worthwhile.
So one thought might be, if we're preparing an annual report, the funding of the tree program is something that is relatively easy to, it's in the city budget, and we could certainly, with ease, just indicate what the current budget is compared to previous years. And if there are any new partnerships or anything that's worth highlighting, that can certainly be incorporated at that time. Otherwise, there wouldn't be anything else to report on. Most of this section is to encourage partnership and to promote partnerships. And so if there's something to report, we report, because it's important to know. Otherwise, it might be a statement of the current funding or any anticipated funding. We could include information on any potential grants that we may have received. I don't know if it's overly burdensome to include some general information related to the funding of the tree program if we're already preparing an annual report. And Bob can
agree, and I was going to say something to that effect, too, is the fact that what they want to know is, or on the report, is if any of these opportunities have presented themselves and we've taken advantage of it. And I think it's just a simple one-liner underneath the budget amounts that we have.
Okay. We can keep it as simple as necessary.
Yeah.
So how do we feel about that? Are we all right with that now?
Go ahead. I'm not happy with it, because then we have all these objectives of things we have to identify.
Mr. Chair, one of the good samples or examples on that would be like the Edison reporting that we received 250 trees. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what I'm thinking. I don't know what Kathleen's thinking, but that's, you know, we would just highlight that in the report. We received, you know, trees from the Southern California Edison, or we received a donation from some kind of a trust or something.
Okay.
It's not creating a lot of additional tracking. Anything that involves tracking a lot of specific data, that becomes, I think, a little bit more burdensome from a staff perspective. But something that's incorporated already into our budget process, or might be really sort of generally programmatic, like the Edison tree donation, that may be relatively easy for us to incorporate because it doesn't require a lot of extra tracking on the part of staff.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. So at this point, we're going to leave that in. Is that the general consensus? All right. Okay, on to section 10.0, summary of recommendations.
Well, this is the report that we're talking about. And it gives a list of objectives. So some rewording of this, maybe under the saying some of these things under objectives may be included in this, something like that.
Okay.
I'm looking at this. This is still the same report that the Public Works Director is making that we were just talking about, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
It says this section is a summary of each of the recommendations in the report, the resources that are estimated to implement the plan, as well as a recommended timeline are included as part of Appendix C. Well, first of all, it should say Appendix E and Appendix F are not recommendations. They are already have been adopted by Council. So that there's some verbiage here that needs to be corrected.
Right, yeah. Because, yeah, the second sentence says resources that are estimated to implement the plan, but that's not...
No, Council's already adopted.
It's already a budget.
Appendix E and F.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it says, the latter after that says, in order to provide ongoing information about the status of the Urban Forestry Management Plan, the annual report prepared by the Community Services Director is recommended to assess timelines. I don't know. Maybe that should be deleted.
Okay, so if we start out, this section is a summary of each of the recommendations in the report. Great.
Okay.
The second sentence, to me, goes away because we're not estimating implementing the plan. The plan is in place.
That's correct.
Okay. Next sentence, in order to provide ongoing information, annual report prepared by CSD, which we know is not true, is recommended. That's already going on. So this is recommending something that's already going on, right? So I don't know if that sentence can, in one respect, it can go away, but maybe if it doesn't go away, it could be reworded to talk about, to say why the report is done or why the report is important. I don't know. How do we feel about that?
That's fine, too.
Do we have any comments on how we feel about that?
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at this thing, and I'm agreeing with what everybody up there is saying, and I think the stuff that's already happening ought to be removed, and probably the first sentence in the middle of it should be removed, and then the last sentence probably works if you change Community Services Director to the Public Works Director. But I think that you do want to assess the timeliness of, and you don't need to say implementation, but maybe the ongoing efforts and modifications that are needed in the plan or something of that nature.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's okay, so in order to provide ongoing information about the status of the UFMP, the annual report prepared by the Public Works Director.
Or you could say the Public Works Director prepares an annual report, and then to assess plan effectiveness, implementation, decide if modifications are needed, et cetera, but just flip it and just say the Community Services, the Public Works Director prepares an annual report. It's a statement of fact.
Sounds simple.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah,
it really simple. Specifies who's doing the report rather than just the city.
Okay, so in order to provide ongoing information about the status of the UFMP, the Public Works Director
prepares a report to assess timeliness, blah, blah, blah. Do we have any comments on that idea? Okay, well, let's go with that then. Recommendations 10.0.1. The city should prepare an annual urban forestry report that recognizes progress made in implementing the UFMP and identifies those portions requiring modification to meet the changing needs. We need some help on that one. Any comments?
There again, we need to change the city to Public Works Director prepares an annual urban forest report.
So it's almost a restatement of
it.
The,
is, yeah, the whole
same thing all over.
Yeah, the whole 10.0.1 is the same thing as the whole 10.0, all the way down. So I'm thinking we need just to eliminate that whole section. Or
either that, or you could say something to the effect that the the annual urban forestry report will include the following objectives, and just
right
go down that way.
Yeah,
that way it's not repeating what we just said above it.
Okay, so recommendations.
The Public Works Director prepares an annual urban forest report. Blah blah blah.
Well, I would even make it more generic and just say the urban forestry report, and then just talk about what it does. We don't need to throw in the Public Works Director again, I wouldn't think, because it doesn't really matter on one hand, and on the other hand, we've said in the paragraph above who does it. We just want to talk about
that. Makes sense.
The report.
Okay. Yeah.
So the annual urban forestry report will document progress made in implementing that sound all right?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. And identify those portions okay. Any comments on that? Okay.
Fine.
Objective number one, include a section in the report for each item of the UFMP that requires it. I'm not sure if that's a Department of Redundancy department, but I think I don't know what else we're going to say there.
Well, it sounds like what Barbara's saying, it's going to be quite detailed and a lot of work. And maybe every year it doesn't have to have each item of the urban forest management plan. That's
well, that requires it. That's
it requires
that goes
it.
Back to the question of if we recommend that a certain item should be monitored annually, then it'll be said so in that section. And then down here, it just basically, I think that this section says you're going to do what you said you'd do in the previous sections.
Oh, okay.
So it's, I think this whole thing is, like I said, somewhat redundant, but I guess that's what you say in a summary of recommendations. You're just sort of hitting people over the head again with what you just told them. It's redundant, but it's an important part of the report, because then it just sort of brings it all around and ties a nice little bow on it.
Bureaucracy in action.
Sure. Well, I think we've saved a few trees in our changes here, so we can put in another paragraph or so. Okay, so objective number one, include a section. That's an objective. That makes sense. Number two, recommend the addition or removal of items from the annual report as necessary. Okay, I guess we'll leave that one. Number three, identify necessary changes to items in the UFMP and recommend them to be made in the next version of the UFMP.
Yeah. I've got something.
Uh-huh.
Actually, 3, 4, and 5. If you notice that, each one says the next version of the UFMP. And I read that as going over the whole thing like we just have done. And what I think we can take 3, 4, and 5 and combine it to, because we have triggers through the whole UFMP. We've got like 1 year, something happens, 2 years, 3, and I think it's 5, and there's 7, and there's 8. All these things happen. So we've got one big cycle happening. So I think it should say, PTAC should review any areas identified by staff in the implementation and function of the UFMP. PTAC's review can be passed on to City Council for consideration. Set a target goal of a 10-year review of the UFMP by PTAC. So therefore, we've gone through all the triggers, and we've come full cycle, and we can do a full review, not a next year version, like a something completely new is the way it's coming off, the way I'm reading it.
So you want to prevent whenever we get a new member, or we get two new members, or I guess three new members, if we have a new voting majority, then they would just decide to look at it again, and it would sort of be ongoing.
It's just, but it's triggered every 10 years because we've got, it says here, identify necessary changes to the UFMP management plan and recommend them in the next version. Identify items in the urban forest that are no longer necessary. All those things we do, but if we set a trigger, just like we have all the other things through the UFMP, it just works within the cycle, and then we'll see what works, what doesn't work as each trigger goes through each year. But in the meantime, there will be modifying and the changes that we do talk about.
Right, and that's what number two is saying.
Correct.
So number two basically has handled it. Now, basically, number one says cover everything that we've said should be covered. Okay. Number two says make recommendations. So this is city staff making recommendations in this report that would be considered by the PTAC. Make recommendations for items to add or remove. That makes sense. You'd want to do that on an annual basis because right. Something happens and you react to it. So number 3, 4, and 5.
PTAC should review any areas identified by staff in an implementation and function of the UFMP. PTAC's review can be passed on to City Council for consideration. Set a target goal of a 10-year review by the UFMP of the UFMP by PTAC.
Well, I think not taking issue with what you're saying, but
I understand.
I think saying that we can have the City Council look at it. I think we have to have the City Council
look at it. Yeah, okay, I understand it. They do. Everything we do goes to them.
Right.
So that's why a review can... can be passed on. A review will be passed on to Council, maybe. Just change the word and say can. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah,
there you go.
Can I make a recommendation for
please.
This? Just dealing with one of these at a time. Number three... Identify recommended changes to items in the urban forest management plan, and let's see. How about just taking out necessary? Identify changes to items in the urban forest management plan and recommend them as updates to the urban forest management plan. Just recommend them as updates to the plan, and then go on to number four and deal with that one on a separate. I think it goes without saying that all these are going to the PTAC before they ever go to council for your recommendation to the council. So none of these changes would go, the annual plan goes to you, and if there's any changes that you approve of, then it would go to the council for changes, permanent changes to the UFMP. I don't know if you want to put all that into there, so just assuming that that's where the chain goes, just living with that.
Well, how about this? So number two is saying, is talking about the annual report, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but numbers 3, 4, and 5 are talking about the UFMP. So what if we take 3, 4, and 5 and just reword them to be exactly like number two and say PTAC, well, no, because it's a report. So
right.
Recommend the additional or removal of items from the UFMP as necessary.
Well, you can reduce that to just changes. That's both
Well, this is
that's addition, three
is,
then written
three is saying changes, four is saying take things out, and five is saying new things.
Four and five seem redundant to me because those are, in fact, changes. So I don't know if you need all three of them.
Right.
And an update, reviewing or updating the UFMP doesn't necessarily mean doing what you all have just almost finished doing, which is review every section of the UFMP. I do agree that staff would then bring forward potential changes based on issues or concerns that we've experienced at the staff level. Likewise, PTAC could do the same thing. If there are things that they feel need to be updated, they can direct staff to evaluate certain sections of the UFMP for updating. And at that point, at any point that that becomes necessary, those can be brought forward and those changes can be incorporated. I do think it's important to note what the process would be for updating the UFMP, which would be consideration by PTAC with a recommendation to the City Council, so it's clearly understood for maybe future commissioners or future staff who haven't been as actively involved in this process as the current group has been. So then it resides in the document and becomes self-evident because it's so stated in the document. But I do think you can consolidate 3, 4, and 5 and then just confirm what the process is for any future updates. Does that make sense?
I like it.
Yeah, that's great. So,
yes,
so
like
how
it.
If we change?
Sorry, would you like me to come up with some language?
Well, what if we change? What if we change one word in number three? If we said identify recommended changes to items in the UFMP, period, and then we don't have to talk about the next version or anything. Mm-hmm. We're just identifying recommended changes, and then the PTAC would consider them as necessary. Any comments on that?
Well, I think if we get one sentence that says identify recommended changes of items in the urban forest management plan that has been approved by the PTAC commission and recommend to the City Council in the next version of the urban forest management plan, that would take care of 3, 4, and 5 and really spells it out. Because hopefully after this, we finish with this document and it goes on to the City Council, that it'll be a year-by-year change of some things that need to be altered and not come out with some major overhaul again.
Well, first of all, once council makes it law, they don't want to keep going back into change.
I would suggest that we may not necessarily do changes to the plan every year. It might be that it becomes every 2 or 3 years. There might be some updating to the plan. Policies should be flexible enough that they stay in place for an extended period of time. What may require updating might be some operating procedures, for example, that staff would need in order to manage the urban forest. But the plan itself, I would imagine, once it's been confirmed and adopted, wouldn't necessarily need significant updating every year. But the opportunity exists for the plan to be updated whenever necessary.
So does our commission think that there needs to be a timeline on this of when?
Well, that's why I came up with a 10-year trigger, because it's long enough, but yet, because it's law, but yet, we'll see things through, like I said, through the whole UFMP, there is triggers for many different things, and we'll see the flaws until, because you'll come full circle with everything, and then we know what's up, what's down, what changes, and then maybe do some updates. Otherwise, if we do it like every year or 2 years, the council's not going to want, I can tell you, they don't want changes like that.
How about if we have number three be, here's an idea. So identify proposed changes to the urban forest management plan and recommend approval to the City Council as necessary. That would be three.
By PTAC.
Right.
Yeah.
By PTAC to the city council as necessary. And then to make sure that the plan is at least evaluated once every 10 years, to follow Commissioner Messner's idea, four would then be evaluate the plan for any necessary updates at least every 10 years. So therefore, if the plan hasn't been updated in any of the preceding 10 years, at least there's a trigger that says, okay, we really haven't evaluated this plan in 10 years. Maybe it's time to take a good look at this. I think
that's good. Yeah, that works for me. I think that's
okay.
Great.
That sounds good.
I like that.
Okay, do I need to repeat that? Our stenographers over there.
So number four, evaluate plan for any necessary updates every 10 years?
Yes.
Okay, but it's not going to say next version, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't think a next version is necessary because really it's a plan that gets updated.
That's why I want to make sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we need to add the PTAC commission in there that they would be the one doing this?
Sure, we can do that in number three. So let me try number three again. Identify proposed changes to the urban forest management plan for consideration by PTAC, which would recommend approval to the city council for adoption.
Every 10 years?
No.
No.
No, this is annually.
That would be as necessary.
Oh, that would be as necessary.
As necessary. Okay. Sorry, I forgot the as necessary for my first time.
Okay.
Do you want me to try again?
Yes.
Okay, Andrea. All right, here we go. Identify proposed changes to the urban forest management plan for consideration by PTAC as necessary and adoption by the city council. Did I get it?
Yeah.
Yes?
Chris will fix it next meeting.
Okay, so I think that's...
I'm just kidding.
I love it. It's all right.
We have an intent that at least we can work with.
Yeah, and then, I think that's good.
Okay, and then four, we could say four would be evaluate the urban forest management plan at least every 10 years. So then if there have been, so that period. So then if there had been no updates to the urban forest management plan in 10 years, it would trigger the full review and evaluation of the urban forest management plan. Otherwise, if we've been evaluating it, we've been making recommendations for updates here and there to various sections for PTAC's consideration, council's consideration and adoption, it's going through this ongoing review. A full review may not necessarily be necessary every 10 years because we've already been doing it.
Agreed. Thank you.
Okay.
That's good.
Thank you.
There we go.
Okay.
So then number five, we just delete.
Five's
right.
Gone.
Awesome. Right.
Got it. We're in there.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any other objectives we want to add to that section? All right. Performance standards, number one. Ensure that all significant changes in the growth and maintenance of the urban forest are recorded and assessed. Comments?
Yeah, we're already doing that, recording things, aren't we, Bob? I mean, things are going on. They're always being recorded and assessed.
If I had a tree contractor.
Yeah.
Yes, we have Arbor Pro, and we try and keep track of that.
Yeah, so
staff's a little thin, so it's a little tough to keep it up all the time. But
so my saying is, why do we have this here? Then maybe we don't need it because it's already happening.
Well, that to me the performance standard is how you make sure that something happens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if it's happening, that's great. But this is where we reiterate that it's important to us that this happen.
Okay,
Mr. Chair. The only concern I have is the word significant. I'm not sure how anybody defines what's significant.
But oh,
maybe yeah. We should just take that out.
Well, it helps because otherwise all changes, then you get the really little changes too that we come after you for.
I won't know what's significant and what's little.
Well, we'll tell you. To me, that would be the problem with taking out significant is you have someone saying, oh, this is a change, this is a change, and then most people could agree that it's a very minor change.
Okay.
I don't know. Not to argue.
We're going
to
watch your pencils and pens, things that you take.
But it says all changes.
All significant
changes. Yeah. If you take out significant, that's going to make them, like, every change, small or little, so...
Well, that's my point. If we plant 10 trees, is that significant or is that little?
Well, and that may be incorporated into the annual report just as part of our sort of we've planted X number of trees and X number of trees were removed. I mean, that's the type of information I think is incorporated into the...
Arbor Pro.
Yeah, and the annual report for Tree City USA.
Yeah.
So how does the commission feel about the word significant?
Should remain in.
I view it as it's certainly something that we can highlight. A new development comes online. We've asked them to plant a significant number of street trees because they have a great deal of right-of-way frontage. That might be something that we would highlight. This new residential neighborhood came online. That's a significant change to the urban forest because we've added all of these street trees in this new area in town. If we received a grant to undertake reforestation efforts in an area of town that didn't have a significant number of street trees, that might be something that we highlighted because that falls under the sort of the umbrella of significant. Onesies and twosies tree planting may not fall under significant. So I think we can apply some judgment as to what we feel might be significant in the context of the overall goals of the urban forest management plan. What's significant for one person for another might be subject to debate, but I think we can work within in that context.
So does significant stay or go?
Do we have significant consensus that it stays?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, it stays.
It stays. Nice.
All right. Number two, ensure that the UFMP remains a consistent and effective document but allows for necessary changes to be made. Any comments on that?
That's what we're already doing.
Yeah.
We have the 10-year thing. So
That's our whole.
That's why we're here.
Good. Okay. With that, I would like to call a 10-minute recess. Thank you for all your work.
ISB, but it doesn't thrill me half as much.
My eggs in one basket. I'm betting everything I got on you.
Let's see where we go from here. Are we back? All right, we're back. So now we head into the appendices to the UFMP, and Appendix A is the Goleta Street Trees Species Frequency. So what this is a list of what this list calls 178 species and the number of each within Goleta. Mr. Morgenstern, do you have any information for us as far as how accurate this list might be at this point?
I'd give it about a 75% accuracy.
Okay.
It was done, this original document was done when we first incorporated and done by West Coast Arborists, and we had a very nice program about inventory on the trees and stuff. We have not redone that inventory and acted on it, kept every tree.
I'd like to add Appendix A, Appendix C, and Appendix D. My recommendation would be removed because they're not even mentioned as a reference in the UFMP at all. If you go through the whole UFMP, there's no reference to Appendix A, C, and D.
There is a portion of the UFMP that does deal with the species diversity. And the geometry is in there, and I'm sure we'll update this as we progress. We can reference it in that section.
I just know that this list, as you said, is not accurate. So, I mean... I mean, we've had a lot of dead trees die. We've had a lot of newly planted ones by developers. We've had Ken Knight never turn in the 2-year status reports for the last 10 years. I mean, we've got all that. So I'm just putting it out there on the table. That's all.
Even though this list is not updated by frequency or even a year when this list was made, I don't see a list, I would like it kept in because it is of some reference, because if somebody said, how many of these kind of trees do we have in the city? And you could say, you know, 12 years ago, this is how many we had. What I would like to know is in the computer, does it say how many, the location of these trees?
Yes, it does. It identifies the location by street address.
Okay, I would like this left in.
I still have a problem with it. As we talked about earlier, if you go to the last page, I think it's 56 big numbers. Because remember we talked about vacant sites and stumps, and all those numbers were off that were referenced in different chapters. I believe chapters 4.1 and 6.4. But we deleted those because they were all inaccurate. So, and here, as I brought up from the last time, that even these numbers aren't accurate. So there has to be some modifying or something.
I don't see the need to have this.
If the Urban Forest Master Plan is a policy-driven document, and this is dynamic information, it'll change on a daily basis based on the condition of the individual trees. It really just becomes a snapshot at a point in time. And if this is potentially, you said this is potentially 12, 13 years old?
I believe it was done about 2004 or 5, something in there. Where, in
it really
area.
Just becomes a point of reference for information at a point in time, 13 years ago, right. However many years ago. It could indicate, you know, diversity at a point in time, but this isn't necessarily accurate for today.
Mr. Morgenstern, does the city monitor this information? Well, what I'm getting at, I guess I should ask the question I want answered. The question is, what would it take for the city in an ongoing manner to keep this updated?
With what frequency? Like Ms. Trepa said, it changes daily. If you wanted to do it annually, it would probably require either 3 or 4 more staff members or hire a consultant to go out every year and physically GPS these locations.
Well, I guess the question is when you're, do you input any information on a as-needed basis that would include changing any of these numbers?
We do. But we only got ArborPro last year. And between 2004 or 5 when this was done to 2014 when we got ArborPro, there's a lot of changes. So without physically going out and doing an inventory, there's no way. All I have is what the UPS, the last contractor, did during his time under ArborPro the last year.
So what we have is this was a snapshot in time as of, call it, 2005.
Okay.
That's correct,
that
right?
Would be correct.
So if one were to keep this, one could say that this was accurate as of 2005 with notation saying since that time there have been additions and deletions of, you know, which is sort of obvious. But just to think about the bigger picture, because I kind of like it, maybe I'm just a list person, but I kind of like the idea of having this. But the problem with having this is if it's not accurate, then what does it really tell us? So we wouldn't want someone to be depending on this or someone to be quoting this because it's obviously not accurate. But it's not obvious in this document that it's not accurate. So if it were to be kept, it needs to be stated.
It needs to be dated.
What it, you know, what it is and what it was. And the sort of the problem I have with keeping it is the fact that there's no way to get to make it right unless you, like you said, you just have to start over. You start at the west end and you go every street mm-hmm. to the east end of the city is really it. You can't just start with this and say, we're going to update it every year. We planted
12 of these and four of those died, and then the list stays current. That's not accurate.
I think part of the struggle is that the software that's been used to do the initial inventory and then subsequent inventories or updating of the inventory is coming from the actual tree contractor.
Correct. It's
so
proprietary.
It's proprietary software. So what happens is that initially when the city incorporated and if the city secured the services of West Coast Arborist, West Coast Arborist brings their own proprietary software. So they do the inventory as they're out there doing grid pruning and any planting and removals, and then they update the inventory for you for that information, and they do that because they actually have it feeding into their invoicing program, so that it's a benefit to them because then it allows for streamlined invoicing. But if West Coast Arborist no longer becomes our contractor, then what happens is we go out, we do RFPs, we secure more competitive pricing, we switch to contractor number two. That data, while we still own that raw data, we don't own the software to be able to use that data efficiently or effectively. Contractor two comes in, they come in with their own software, so they start keeping track of their of the trees because they're required to do so, but it doesn't really necessarily maintain the integrity of the data from one contractor to another contractor because they're just going to update what they themselves have done. And then when contractor number two goes, because we've done now a subsequent RFP and competitive bidding for tree services, we have contractor number three. So if we're relying on the proprietary software of our contractors, it's very difficult for city staff to maintain the integrity of the data without adequate resources on staff in terms of staff and software to make sure that everything that our contractors are doing for us are actually integrated and fed into a city software program. And that's been, my guess, been part of the struggle with maintaining the integrity of the data in one place. It's probably in snapshots in various areas, but trying to maintain it all in one spot has been difficult.
That's excellent. You said it very well. The only thing is there was a gap. There wasn't between 2014 and 2005. No one was tracking it as far as on a computer system. We only got the Arbor Pro last year, and there was no other system before that. But there was nobody to enter it, and there was nobody to enter the data as it progressed, as the tree companies were trimming and doing their thing. That data is all lost because nobody entered it. So we didn't even have a program.
So does the contractor that we have now, their input?
We don't have a contractor.
We don't have, they, okay. So there's only 1 year out of the last
10.
So we have, I think we have a lot of raw data and we've got a good place to start. This is a problem that I think faces many communities. In my last community, we had similar issues when our tree crew did work and they didn't have access to the same software program, and developers would install things online, and because they were developer installed and not contractor installed, they didn't get picked up, and we realized that we had gaps in our data. And so then we identified the gaps and how we were going to solve the gaps. And so it's sort of an ongoing issue from a staff perspective is how to maintain the integrity of the data, because it's very, it moves on a regular basis because the urban forest is really evolving on a daily basis. Trees go out and trees come in on a regular basis. And I think it's a struggle that many agencies have in terms of trying to maintain accurate records for the urban forest. And it's an area that we're familiar with, and it's certainly an area that as we identify opportunities for grant funding, for the collaborations and the partnerships that we're talking about, for internal resources, these are all things that we can focus on to make sure that we're doing as much as we can to bring it all together so that we can actually more efficiently manage that information.
Thank you.
And another note on this is this doesn't reflect park trees. This just reflects street trees.
Okay. So my next question, and we may all have some, my next question is there any value to the Public Works Department to have a list like this?
Oh, certainly. It's always very, any information that we can have at our disposal is valuable.
So do you have such a list, or is this the only list that exists?
We could print one off of the Arbor Pro right now, but as we have been saying, it's only as accurate as the snapshot that we have from 2014, which only includes the trees that they serviced.
Which is on a percentage wide of the city, is it 20%, 40%, 60%?
Well, the last year that we had a company out there, we had the city broken up into five different districts for trimming. And we did three of them. So it'd be basically 60% accurate if what they entered is accurate.
And because you don't have staff to go back and check what they did.
No, we don't even have staff to check the trimming when they do it. Yeah.
My question is, let's say you're on the computer and you're going through this Goleta Street tree frequency. And if you, let's say you went to the Modesto ash and it said, you click on that and it said, okay, the Modesto ash over on this street, this is how many we had. Does it give you a date when that was inputted?
We've only had it 1 year. The proprietary program is no longer available to us. Since they're no longer our contractor, we can't get into their program.
We have access to the raw data. So the data
What raw data? All we have is what's printed in the book they left us. There is no longer any ability to get through the web onto West Coast Arborist's program.
So it never was inputted in our list.
We have raw data on the Arbor Pro, but that's only reflective of 2014, 15, the fiscal year, and that's only the trees that they touched.
It becomes a classic. This is one of those areas that I think many agencies struggle with, and it becomes a classic internship program. GPSing trees is pretty standard now for many horticultural programs, partnering with GIS interns that are developing projects for the local at the local universities and colleges. I mean, there are opportunities to be able to move forward with updates to inventory. Again, it becomes a matter of where do you place that data and how do you manage that data to make sure that it's always maintained. And it requires resources to be able to coordinate and organize and manage an internship project where they go out with their GPS devices. So I think the department and the city is aware that there's some gaps in our data and that we need to at some point be able to collect the missing data and get it all compiled into one spot. And I think when we talk about implementing the Urban Forest Management Plan, that is a primary goal, is to make sure that we have up-to-date inventory information on our trees. When we need to verify tree ownership and tree species, we certainly do that on a frequent basis. We do it all the time. But in terms of being able to produce a master list, then we know we have some gaps in the data.
What we do know, like you said, was it 14 and 15 we have, but that's section, so it's not the whole city.
It's 14, it's not 15.
Well, fiscal year 14, 15.
Okay. I'm just thinking here, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so we have that, but that's just a pie out of Goleta, okay, a section. But we know that's more accurate. What if we start with that we know, and maybe word it, say in Appendix A, continue to build or you know what I mean, add more pies as we go or something. At least we have something that we know that's more accurate and work off of that.
Well, we need to go back into this management plan and put it as a requirement for the contractor to input it into the city's system.
It already is
a requirement, but it's not the city system. It's the contractor system. The city doesn't have a system.
That's the problem.
It's the problem.
We have a stack of floppy disks, and nobody can read floppy disks anymore. We need a Google Docs is what we need, something that you can pass around and everyone can deal with. But that either doesn't exist or the city doesn't have it.
Let me piggyback on what Ms. Trepa was saying. We do have the program. We do have our own computer specifically designed for the Arbor Pro program. And if we get a new contractor in the specifications, it spells out the fact that they have to enter their data onto our Arbor Pro program.
Oh, it does?
Yes, it does. So right now the only issue is we have to get the specifications out there, get bids in, award a contract, and then have that contractor start putting his data into the Arbor Pro program. We own the Arbor Pro program, so we have continuous use of it.
So if it's likely, or here's a question, is it likely that the city would in alternate years do 40% and 60% so that every 2 years it's likely that we would have 100% of the city covered
That's my goal.
Right.
We do five sections, and I do three and then two, alternating years. Now, that's for grid prune. Sometimes we have trees that need more than grid prune, and we
right.
find those, and then we have full trims on those.
Right. So it's possible to, what I'm getting at, it's possible to update this list every 2 years, or
correct.
To have the data to do it every 2 years, whether or not it happens.
The data should be updated as the contractor moves. It'll be updated on a daily or a weekly basis.
Yeah, but where I'm going is you won't have a
complete.
True list until you go every 2 years.
Bob, I'm sorry. How often do you have trees scheduled for grid pruning here?
Like I said, we do three sections 1 year, two sections the next year. So we have five sections that the city's broken into.
So a tree is pruned how frequently? Every 2 years?
Should be pruned every 2 years. But that's grid pruned.
Right. No, that's fine. But as part of the grid pruning process,
they identify the tree.
They identify the tree.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's actually that's really good news. So over the
yeah.
course of 2 years, all the trees could be verified and entered into the inventory system.
And then we get an accurate count. Mm-hmm. We, like you said, we have one already, 14, 15. We have a little bit already we can start off of, bounce off of that. We know that, and we just...
Well, for the three grids you did, it doesn't help the other two grids.
Right, but...
Well,
yeah.
It will.
But
it will. Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
So we take that in place of this and make that the live document.
Right.
Well, that would be the update. One of the updates we talked about
right.
prior is...
So that would be added to it. That would be my suggestion. That way, it's more accurate than this. We know that it's our information, and then we just add to that, update
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It's
and
as
Ms. Treppa said, we could always put on there the updated dates.
Yeah.
On it, you know.
And that's what I think needs to happen. This needs to be kept because at least it's some reference.
Yeah.
And then, as the new information, yeah. hopefully over a 2 year period, you put the date in when it was dated, when it happened, and then everything. We're just changing.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's just we just get rid of this and put what they have and with the
yeah.
updates. Because this
we
don't know right here. All,
no,
we don't know.
No, Lynn, what we can't keep this list because we don't know where this relates to the 60% of the city that we're going to update it with.
Yeah. No, I would.
If we had this list and we update it with the 60%, we wouldn't know which trees have gone away and which trees have been added. I think Commissioner Messner is correct. We have to start at zero. As much as I don't want to throw this away, I think the only way to get to a point where it makes to where it's correct is if we start at zero, we input what has been done, 60%, and we say in the appendix it's are what are the grids? I mean, the sections are what, 1 through 5 or A through E or something like that?
No, it's 1 through 5.
Yeah. So
but
so it, we it, say sections it, 1 through 3 were updated in 2014. Sections 4 and 5, not inputted.
Yeah. But this makes a great benchmark.
There you go.
So you don't want to, my opinion, you don't want to discard it. It's a benchmark to show what we've done from this date to our new date.
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to get at. This is a benchmark. It might not be accurate, but at least it's something. Otherwise, we have nothing.
So what if, because this master plan requires council adoption and any changes require council adoption, if we left this in dated as inventory as of 2005, and then in the annual report, that's where each year as the annual report is submitted, what is in the system gets printed out and should be able to tally how many of each species, and then you can see annually what how the inventory stands, and we can add a footnote, represents updated information for grids 1, 2, and 3, represents updated information for grids 4 and 5 as a footnote, and then that gets attached to the annual report.
That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
No, I don't agree with that.
I don't know.
This is really of little value. And to add the new, you confuse people if then they try to figure out, oh, well, it looks like now we have 12 of those, and it said here we had 42, and what happened, and what are those? I mean, it's not of any value because you don't know what was lost and what was, well, you know what was gained. But this is all, you know, many of these may not even be anywhere in the city now. I know what I'm thinking of from the point of view, since I've been working on EIRs, every time I see something with a date of 05, I know it's of no value whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. It's no longer accurate.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's unfair to the community to put something in there that is of real no real value to them. Start with a new, and in 2 years you will have something, and from there you continue to build. But this isn't anything for them.
Well, to some degree, any inventory listing that is published, whether it's part of the UFMP and annual report, it is only as good as the day it's printed, because the number of trees changes on a regular basis based on what is removed and what is planted.
Yeah,
and
I think that's
it's a dynamic. It's dynamic.
I think people would understand that. I can't see anyone getting upset that there's not truly 6,412 trees in the city. I think I see where Commissioners Massey and Messner are going, and I agree with the logic behind that. I can also see what Commissioner Kirby is talking about as far as this having value as to where we were at this time, so that when we get this new list, we can see, for example, 2 years from now, when we have a completely brand new list, we see, wow, there's only 100 different species in the city now? Why did we lose 80% of our diversity or something like that? This could be of historical value in that respect. But as far as a living document, this list has to be dead. It can't be updated. It could be referenced by somebody. Mm-hmm. But in my thinking, it's really for the Public Works Department. You have this list. It exists. To me, I don't know that it belongs in the Urban Forest Management Plan, just because it's not telling us anything. If someone were to wonder historically what has happened to the diversity in the city of Goleta, I think it would be great if Public Works could make this data available to people, because that I could see where somebody might be interested in that, because there's, in general, we have a lot more homogenization of things in modern society, I think. So I do like the idea of knowing that we once had 178 different species, but I just don't see that it belongs in this document, because as Commissioner Massey said, it gives you a false sense of knowledge, if you want to think of it that way, or you know, wow, we have this and we truly don't have this. Yeah. So would it be possible to keep this within the city records in some manner, so that, you know, 10 years from now, when the next group of happy people are doing this job, they could see where have we come over the first 20 years of the city. That might be a value to someone at that point.
Well, my only concern is if we take this out of the document, the probability of, correct me if I'm wrong, of the having an importance to the new contractor to update this will be less significant. It might not happen.
In my view,
no, he'll be obligated to do it.
We would be obligated to do it.
Well, I think you're misunderstanding what I'm saying or what I'm trying to say, if I haven't said it right.
Well, it's just that
doesn't belong in there, but the list belongs in here. The list is what we're going to be developing. We'll have 60% of it this year. We'll have 100% of it next year. And then it'll be truly updated. The list will be correct, but this specific list of the 178 doesn't belong anymore.
So may I ask if the desire is to have the list or a list, In the UFMP, again, it's a list that will always change. So it will only be accurate as of the date that it's printed. And if we produce updated lists and we want to incorporate it into the UFMP, that requires consideration by this group and then on up to the City Council, because we would be modifying the UFMP because it's an appendix to the UFMP.
Well, in my mind, it would always be a trailing list. And mm-hmm. In my mind, that's, I mean, if somebody wanted a snapshot, they could go to the Arbor Pro, they could print it out that day and see what it was as of, you know, the tree company trimmed these trees yesterday and updated it. That could be done if that were important to people, but I don't know that for a document like this, that's the important part. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that.
Are you asking that the list be included in the UFMP or in the annual report?
Seems appropriate in the annual report.
Yeah.
Okay, then that's fine. If it were in the UFMP, it's slightly different for us from an administrative perspective. But the annual report is something that we're going to produce anyway. We print the list out. We bring it here. We're not actually updating the UFMP if we're just providing the annual report.
And then it makes that the living document.
And the annual report is really the current information on the status of the urban forest.
So we'll need to go back through the urban forest plan and add that this is part of it.
The list? Oh, for the section on the annual report, that's a good point. Include the most recent inventory of...
tree by species.
Yeah, tree by species.
What chapter was that?
Right, it was
10,
nine.
I think. Right?
Yeah, it was 10.
It was our recommendations.
Yeah. I just don't want it forgotten if it's taken out. That's
yes,
my,
10. It's
that's
10.
That's fair.
So that's an objective...
Or it could be a performance standard.
Well, yeah, actually, we already have it. Look at us.
Yes.
We're so smart.
Number one, ensure that all significant changes in the growth and maintenance of the urban forest are recorded and assessed.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're talking about. We could get more specific about it.
Yeah, like and include the Goleta Street tree frequency Appendix A.
Most current.
Even though it's
appendix. Yeah, you can't do an appendix.
Include the most, we'll just use
well, not an appendix,
title.
But at least the
annual report. Or report.
Goleta right. Street tree species frequency list.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask this. So we're doing the street trees. I remember you mentioned there's no parks.
No, there's no parks included on the list that you have.
I understand that. Do we want to add parks in it or no?
I don't. Well, I'm not telling you you can't, but I'm just saying that
I'm asking
our street tree contractor isn't obligated to do street trees and parks. I mean,
period.
Park trees. Yeah, period. Okay. It's all funded out of Measure A. Most of it, I believe all of it's funded out of Measure A, which has to be on the street. Can't be in the parks.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just.
Yeah.
So then that list would clearly designate that this is what this list is. It's a list of street trees by species, yeah. And it could even say on that list that, you know, park trees are not included. And then, as Ms. Trepa said, you know, an internship program might come around to where you send some students into the parks and they document the trees, and you know, that would be a separate issue.
Yes, this is the right direction. This is because it's a living document. That's great, and it's in the right way to put it.
Okay, so if we're saying that this information goes into the annual report, then what we're saying is that this Appendix A goes away.
Yes.
Correct.
All right. But it'll be kept. It'll be memorialized. It'll be referenceable by the Public Works Department.
Okay. But not by anybody else.
They could put it in a time capsule. No.
In a park.
Of all the things to put in a time capsule... I guess
well, I'm just thinking of a person that say, gee, I want to see what, you know.
Well, once the report is accepted, it becomes public record and somebody could look it up.
They can find
if they want to
they
do
can
so.
Dig.
They can dig.
They can dig.
Records request from the city clerk.
Did you want to change any wording on the performance standard one?
I added a 3. I don't know if this was the intent. Include the most current Goleta Street tree species frequency list with the annual report.
Well, I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but under objectives, number one is include a section report for each item, the urban forest management plan. Since we're not including that, you can't really specify it because it would be part of that plan, which we're...
There is a section in UFMP, as I mentioned, on species diversity.
Yeah.
So you could probably put it in, under that.
All right. So do we need to reword that so people kind of get, since it's not under their urban forest management?
I remember it being in there. I don't know.
Okay. What section,
You got maybe...
Got me on that, too.
Let me look.
You're going to look? Species diversity?
4.3. Species.
All right, you're not fired.
Very good. 4.3.
Good work.
Page 19 of 80.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
So do we want, maybe want to put that into the recommendations under 4.3?
Under 4.4?
We have objective
4.4 is tree species eligibility list, but this is frequency list. Okay, so we'll do in 4.3.
4.3, species diversity. Sense. Objective number one, assess the current species, genus, and family distribution of all public trees managed by the city.
And include in your annual report.
So then we'll just add that line in?
I think that covers
line.
It.
Okay,
it's,
great.
It's being assessed.
Good.
All right, one appendix
down.
Appendix B. Oh, this will go well.
Yeah.
Potential heritage tree sites within the city of Goleta. The listed trees that are not within or visible from public rights of way are in private areas that require the permission of the owners to enter. Please respect trees in private areas by not trespassing. Do we have any comments on this?
Yes. I got looking at this. First of all, my first thought is half these are on private property.
Yes.
Okay. But then I got looking at Chapter 415, Heritage Trees in the UFMP. Now, I don't know if you have your September 3rd packet.
What section is that?
Chapter 415 or 4.15. So if you have your September 3rd packet, because that has it where it's been semi-cleaned up, you know, that we went over it. And if you go to the second paragraph at the bottom, it says...
You mean section 4.15?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Yes, okay. And it says... I'll just read that paragraph. It says, no trees have been designated as heritage, historical, or significant since the city has formed, and there is no process for protecting any heritage tree or tree of significance on public or private property at this time. Here's where I'm going to... A list of, and I stress potential, Goleta heritage tree sites is identified in Appendix B, okay? But if you go down to objectives, number two, it says develop a list of candidate heritage landmark trees, meaning that's telling PTAC to do it.
Right.
So we have two documents here. We're supposed to make one, and we have just a proposed potential list. So I'm kind of thinking maybe Appendix B we take out, and we just, because we're going to be making our own list.
Well, by the time,
because then there's
going to
be like two documents,
private, you know, and remove ones that aren't obviously aren't heritage trees in here, you have hardly any trees left.
And the ones that are on private or on city, we don't even know, half of them may be legitimate, and some of them may not. That's the key. These are just, it just says potential. So it seemed to me that maybe drop the Appendix B and just make our own appendix or our own list, which it says right here that for us to do.
Well, Okay, well, I'm also looking at the red marks that we had from that section. And Commissioner Grubb said appendix should be edited for public trees only, and I would agree with that statement as well.
Yes, I mean, I agree. I mean, it has to be edited. Don't get me wrong, but it's saying though that that appendix B is only a potential. It's not saying that right. It is. It's just a list out there, kind of like appendix A. If you think about it, it's something there, but. If you go further down under recommendation objectives, it says that it wants the PTAC to develop a list of candidate heritage landmark trees. It's telling us to do that.
Right.
So you have a list that's potential, and you have a list that we're supposed to make that we know.
And then you also have to have a system of the criteria of how these trees are selected.
That's the next thing. If you go down to performance standards under C2, it says a tree or a stand of trees which are of historic significance. My thought was define what is historical significance. I mean, so this chapter will need some go over.
Right. For me, what I would support for what we do today, I believe it's appropriate to delete items from Appendix B, trees that are on private property. I mean, we have this whole document's about public. So,
Mr. Chair, as a matter of information, we started we had a subcommittee an ad hoc committee. We were looking at a tree protection ordinance. And part of the things that we were looking into in the tree protection ordinance was heritage trees and how you define a heritage tree and things of that nature. And, of course, what the tree protection ordinance does is protect trees that are on private property. So we're in the infancy of developing that ordinance. Of course, Ms. Cagley is gone now, but... we did have a good start on that, and we've got some groundwork already set on it. But as far as I can see, this is simply this is already approved by council, and it's simply just a recommendation of sites to consider that haven't been approved officially as heritage trees, since we don't have a definition of a heritage tree. So everything is up in the air as far as that goes.
Yeah, or a system how you... select a heritage
correct.
Tree.
There's no, yeah, there's so it's no a whole parameters other, that define what a heritage yeah. tree is that's approved by the council.
There again, this is a benchmark document here.
Yeah.
So,
but that was the attempt at the ad hoc committee was part of that was to create the parameters that define what a heritage tree is. So at this point, it's simply just a recommendation from the people who originally created the UFMP. And of course, it was approved by council. But
okay, well, that changes how I think about it.
It has some significance, in my opinion, because if somebody wants to, let's say, buy the Sizzler property and chop down that tree,
we can't stop them.
Right we now. Can't stop them, and at least it's at this point until we can work on that.
They should chop down the Sizzler and leave the.
Or in, first.
Okay, well, what more comments do we, where are we at with the comments? What do you think?
I want to remove it and start out with something right the first time
yeah.
rather than having some. I mean, half of these are private, several of them are in no way heritage. And I sort of wonder when I look at it, who made this up and why? Of course, some of us know, but.
I think it'd be good, again, we're tasked to come up with something on our own, and I think that would be great for us to do. That's number one. Number two, we should come up with some criteria. We should, heritage, in that arena, I think would be good.
Do we need, we would need direction from council to do something like that, wouldn't we?
We've already started the process with the ad hoc committee, but of course half of that committee is gone, so we haven't had a meeting in quite a while, but we'll probably put on a future agenda to have you select a replacement for Kaylee, and then we can pick up where we left off on that. But we've done some major groundwork on that. We've got some pretty good ideas going forward with that.
But you're correct. The process for adopting a tree protection ordinance would start with consideration here with this commission, and then a recommendation on up to the city council for adoption.
Correct. The ad hoc committee goes to mm-hmm. you. You go to the council, basically.
Okay, and so we're already authorized to do the ad hoc council. It's just on hold.
Correct. Ad hoc committee. And I'll talk to Ms. Kai and see what we need to do next to replace Ms. Brown.
Okay, because I...
Or the city clerk, I'm sorry.
It just seems to me it's really two lists. It's a list of potential heritage tree sites on public property, and it's a list of potential heritage tree sites on private property that have been commingled here, and there's a lot of landmines that go along with both of those, but especially the ones on the private property. So I am sensitive to what I'm hearing about removing it, because I agree that this list isn't necessarily, I mean, when we're talking about the public forest, it doesn't apply to that, but when we do have a section on heritage trees, and in that section it says this is a list of potential sites, well, that's a fact. That is true. This is a list of potential sites. We could disagree about each site or all the sites, but it is a list of potential ones, and it's not giving any credence to that. So I would tend to say leave it in, and when the ad hoc committee continues on, that's the point to modify the list.
I agree, because I think at this point, if we leave it in, the ad hoc committee does its work, then we bring it back to the PTAC committee, and then we move forward making the changes then, and then we forward on to the city council as a future agenda item.
Mr. Chairman, I would say that once you develop, and once the ad hoc committee develops a set of parameters and the PTAC agrees with it and it goes to the council, that's going to either endorse or eliminate a lot of these trees anyway, depending on what those parameters are. So
there again, this is just a benchmark list.
Yeah, doing anything to them right now might be just putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
Sorry, I can't go along with that. I don't think it's appropriate to even be in here in the first place.
Okay.
What about if we change it just to have the public trees?
No, because I don't think, I mean, I think there are public trees in here listed, Evergreen Open Space and Bella Vista Open Space are examples of things, like the eucalyptus serves as a backdrop for disc golf course. How's that heritage?
That's true.
Or excellent example of massed Australian willows.
Mr. Chair, the only thing I'm thinking about is if you go to the council with your recommendations, and if you recommend not to include this, they're probably going to want to know under what circumstances you decided that these shouldn't be in there. And without any parameters or anything, and they've already approved this, you know, we may have trouble explaining why they shouldn't be in there.
I probably shouldn't say what I said last time this issue came up, is that I doubt that half of them ever even looked at this when they approved it. They approved, This is one of those things that they looked at, thought it was a nice idea, and approved it without looking at it.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that's a pretty broad assumption.
So Barbara, do you mean that we should go back to 4.15 and take out the whole heritage tree section?
No, I didn't say that. Just this.
Okay, well, I think we're at a log jam, if it were. And so right now it's in the plan. Do I hear a motion, or does someone want to make a motion to take this out of the plan?
I'll make a motion to remove it from the plan.
All right. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Okay. So now we have discussion. Do we have more discussion to have on this before we vote?
I'm only seconding it because, again, I only come back to objective number two. It says it's wanting the PTAC to develop their own list. So we're developing a list, which is not potential, which is a list. And I kind of was reading, I saw that, I thought, wait a minute, because this appendix A just says potential. It's just a potential. And, of course, half of them are on private property, so obviously they go, you know, so to speak. But council's going to get this UFMP, and they're going to see a list of trees, not a potential list, because they're of what's heritage. And they're going to say, yes, that they agree with that or not. So,
well, I think you're sort of reading in that they're not going to pay attention to what the list is.
The list does say potential heritage tree sites.
That's what I'm saying. Unless you reword things and you get rid of Appendix A as, say, a potential, and then you get rid of all the private properties in here, and then we define, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? You break it down. I mean, obviously, to me, Stowe Grove is a heritage place. I mean, that's undeniable. Although I dispute 300 redwoods, which says in here is inaccurate.
Not anymore.
Yeah, but even before, I don't believe there was 300. And
240, I believe.
And then what was in here? Maybe some trees that. At the Stowe House Gardens, you know, I would, without doubt, there's probably something in there that's very heritage and you know, important. Right. And
well, and the oak at Lake Los Caneros is dead, so that one's gone, number 19.
Well, so we have a motion that's been made. The motion has been made and seconded to remove this. I want to keep the discussion going. If there's more discussion, let's have it. Otherwise,
yeah, I understand.
Just one more item, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The only reason it says potential is because we don't have a heritage tree definition.
Well, right, and that's. I think that. I don't need to say how I'm going to vote. We'll know in a minute, but. We don't have a criteria to make this list, and that's what's going on.
I'd be open if we. I mean, I can agree on what I think. As I just said, there's a couple of things here that I think are obvious heritage trees on this list. I'd be willing to say we delete everything else, keep those ones that we definitely know that is. And then we can build off of that, meaning when we get criteria.
Right, but if we do that, then we're all using our own criteria. I think it's pretty, you think it's old, they think that there's four of them together, so that's worthy. So the motion is to keep it or lose it, and the motion is to lose it, so that's what we're voting on. But your point is, I think, a separate point in that. What I, what I disagree with what you're saying. I agree with the sentiment of where we would get to, but I don't think it's an appropriate way to get there until we have uniform, until we have agreed upon, whether we all agree or three out of five agree, until we have criteria, I don't think it's appropriate to amend the list because we don't have an agreed upon criteria to amend the list for what would be included. So at this point, we have a motion to delete the Appendix B. I'd like to have a roll call of votes.
Chair Haight?
No.
Vice Chair Messner?
Yes.
Commissioner Kirby?
No.
Commissioner Massey?
Yes.
All right, so it just stays.
Okay, so motion fails.
Yeah.
It stays for now. We can move on. Okay, how are we doing on time? Appendix C, bibliography and resources used. To me, this would be something that staff could maybe go through and see what's still being used. I can't see how.
Well, first of all, Appendix C wasn't referenced at all. And this UFMP started out with about, what, 200 pages?
You know what? I wasn't in on the early.
Okay, it was about 200, and then council had it was Bennett and Easton went through and stripped out that, and we'll get into it in the next appendix. I'll explain more, but anyhow, I think bibliographies are good for proposals, but not necessary in an adopted policy for city. That's kind of where I saw it.
All right, I think that's a good point.
And then half these things have already been either disproven or outdated or, you know, blah, blah, blah.
No longer referenced.
Yeah, there you go. Say. Thank you. That's a good way to say it, yeah. Better way.
Typically, in ordinances with the city, or I guess it's not an ordinance, but in other documents within the city, do we typically see bibliographies of what was included to create that?
I think Ms. Trepa could probably answer that better than me.
To be honest with you, I'm not familiar with what may have done previously here with the city of Goleta, and I'm now trying to recall with the tree guidelines, policies and guidelines that I had at the city of Claremont, if we referenced resources. We certainly didn't have five pages of resources, that I can assure you. But I do think that there may have been maybe two or three that were referenced because we use them frequently as a resource in terms of our urban forest management work. But we did not have four pages of resources listed like this.
Okay, thank you.
Can I add to that? That's what we did for ensure that standards adoption is recognized and progress is made year to year. That you helped on that for updating things. Well, it was 48 of.
Which one? October?
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about if we get rid of this?
Yes.
What
yes.
do we think?
Sounds I agree. Good.
Could save a tree.
Two trees.
All right.
Five pages of trees.
All right. That appendix is gone.
All right.
We can agree on things.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
All right. Appendix D, 5-year projected allocation of city urban forestry staffing. Following table represents the estimated personnel resources necessary to complete the projects in this plan. These figures should be considered approximations, etc. Any comments?
Yes.
Mr. Morgenstern, do you use this at all?
No.
No.
No. No. Can I give some background? This is what I wanted to give background on.
Sure.
Okay. So back to my statement about we were about 200 pages plus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so council member Bennett and Easton were tasked to just go through it. And they removed more than half of it, just got rid of it to what we have now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, FTEs are full-time equivalents. That's what the acronym stands for. And if you notice in here, it talks for FTEs for every chapter. And in those pages that council removed were sections in every single chapter talking about FTEs. Have you noticed we have not had any of those because they've been removed? Okay? So there's only one reference to FTEs in chapter 1, but the reference to Appendix D has been removed. So basically, it should be removed in chapter 1, that one paragraph, and then Appendix D should be removed because it's we have established that trees are subject to physical constraints and climatic conditions. We've already talked about that, and then we've got that in the UFMP. So actual cost for the urban forest will vary year to year. And this is outdated. So
I agree.
Okay. So Appendix D is gone.
It, with that, can I make a motion to have that paragraph removed also?
So where do you go back to?
Okay. It's in 21 of the September, but it will be in, I'm sorry.
Little page 21.
Hold on, I'll get there. I'm sorry. I've got all my little notes. Sorry. Hold on, bear with me. I think it's page 17 of the UFMP. Okay.
Well, what's the section number? Do we know that?
One, chapter one.
Oh.
I'm trying to help get you there faster. Sorry.
You mean 1.0 on page 13?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Page 13.
Sorry about that.
Out of 80. And it's under... it's under background.
Yeah, background.
Background.
So that whole paragraph should be removed. Because that's... When council was removing, I think... Because they definitely removed the reference to Appendix D... and all reference to FTEs in every single chapter, I think that got missed because otherwise it just sits there doing nothing. Because it says right here, each recommendation is accompanied by a specific objective, possible performance metric, or included along with current conditions that will serve as a baseline for comparison during the 20-year review period when available, and projected resource needs are identified in the plan, project resources, staff times, are expressed in terms of full-time equivalents FTEs for employees working 2,000 hours or 250 days a year. So that's all gone.
So that last sentence, projected resources, that would just go away, and then
that whole paragraph,
starting with each recommendation.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. Because that's what's dealing with FTEs. That's the only reference in here about it. Everywhere else, it's been removed.
Well, I think the beginning of that. Paragraph is actually still true. Each recommendation is accompanied by specific objectives. We still have those.
No, you're right. Okay.
And then possible performance metrics are included. We do have performance standards, along with current conditions that will serve as the baseline for comparison during the 20-year review period. I don't know what the 20-year review period is.
Yeah, well, see, that deals with FTE stuff. So if you put a period at the end of comparison, that'd be fine. If you change metrics to what was the word you used? Performance standards. Change that word to standard. That would fly.
Okay. Okay. So possible performance standards are included, along with current conditions that will serve as the baseline for comparison.
Period.
Okay. And the rest of the paragraph goes away.
There you go.
All right, that's a great catch. Thank you.
I just caught that when I was doing this other stuff, and so.
Okay.
Bless you.
All right, so.
So Appendix D would be gone.
Correct.
I'm sorry, you lost me?
Appendix D is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Appendix E, tree species eligibility list. Has this been updated?
It's a living document. I'll be honest, I'm not prepared for it.
No. I just had that question. Has this already been addressed in some manner or not?
Our last arborist put together a report that identified possible tree species that would be
good in this particular zone. So,
okay,
and,
so,
and
so
some we, that we have, some that are not even available to our area and things like that. So we do have that report.
I'm more prepared for the Appendix F instead of the tree thing, or the listing, because I didn't do any.
No, it research. Wasn't accepted, I don't believe, by anybody, but it's been done.
Okay, we have, so let's take time out for a second here. So we're on Appendix E right now, tree species eligibility list. Appendix F
is the Siglia's nursery tree planting and contracting guidelines. And what that was this is what council adopted, okay? But back in, bear with me, I've got my notes here. There were some chapters that that are in yellow stuff here, that we said that was part of, we've already have it in here, and then we said, okay, well, why don't we do this? Rosemary said, let's take this stuff and see any in there that could maybe add to make this better.
Okay.
And there are some things in here that I found that, yeah, it would add to it to make it better.
Okay, so before we can talk about this, we really need to have a collated list, if you will, or an updated document to review, because right now we'd be going off somebody's memory who's better than mine as far as what was suggested to be in that or not. Isn't that correct?
No.
No.
What this list is, this is already adopted by council.
Okay, and that's not in our packet.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah.
But if it's,
no, it is. Well, it let me is. Rephrase
it's
this.
It's not in today's packet.
Right. It's not in today's packet. No. But that is Appendix F.
Correct.
Okay? And that is in the UFMP.
It exists as an appendix, right.
And and so does the street tree list.
Right.
Okay, so these have been adopted by council as it, but the tree list is a living document, which means we update, change, add, which we're going to do. And what happened was the Appendix E, those things were kind of combined, but this trumps Appendix E, so we split it to E and F. So that's what this is. But when we were going through the UFMP, there were some chapters, I think 4.4 and 4.5 and 4.10 that they were on subject matter that was pertaining in here, in this Appendix F that council adopted. But it was said that, okay, let's highlight these things, see if there's anything in here that can be added to help strengthen this. And then that's kind of where this went. And so that's the background.
Okay, thanks. So for me, on a bottom line way to look at it, we can't address Appendix F today because it's not in our packet. That's easy.
Right.
And Appendix E, I don't believe that we have enough time to address that today, so we will stop at the end of what used to be Appendix D.
So for next meeting, we'll do E and then recommended Appendix F. Right.
Well, Appendix F, I believe, already exists.
Yeah, it exists.
It exists, but it's not part of the current UFMP. That's what you're doing is making changes to recommend to the council.
No. Council has adopted it. Yeah.
It's adopted, but not as part of the UFMP.
It sits as a separate
document. Right. So it's part of all your recommendations.
Well, council adopted into law three things. One, this PTAC commission.
Yes.
Appendix F, or the street tree planting guidelines and the planting list.
Correct.
Boom, that's it. They also said for us to go over the UFMP And that's what they want us to add, cut, paste, whatever,
sure,
and go through it. So there's some things to update in this and then give it to council, yes.
So all you need to do really is to recommend that the approved council's street tree and planting guide be included as part of the UFMP.
And yes, we are still going to...
As Appendix F.
Yeah,
as
we're still going to review it as part of this.
As Appendix F. Yeah. But I do believe that there's a few things in there that we, like I think I showed you that was in yellow.
Right.
That actually, what I found that would strengthen some more things in here that we can take from here and add that would help. Benefit.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and
so to prepare for, so I'm sorry if I may, so to prepare for the next meeting to do these two appendices, is there, Andrea, are you clear on these yellow sections that might be incorporated into Appendix F that Commissioner Messner is referring to? It's from the September 3rd workshop.
Well, that there's, it's, it, yeah, they're, yeah, they're.
Yeah. It's highlighted from the notes, correct? Because it says come back to it.
Okay, so we all have access to this information.
See, we said we go back to it.
Yeah.
And but I will say though, there's when I was going over it, there's a couple sections that were highlighted yellow, but yet I know from my notes when we talked about it, I circled it, and that's why some of that's been deleted here, but yet will go good in the other is what I'm saying. So
for us to talk about this, what I think we need is in our packet next time for the public to review, for us to talk about it, is everything that we've changed up until now. We need to have basically the document as we've gotten to it. Not that it's perfect, but as we agreed to, and we may see that we contradict ourselves or whatever, and we may wish to revisit that. But in order for us to finish these last two appendices out, we need to have a record of everything that we've talked about before. Whereas our current packets generally only talk about or only include what we talked about last time, now since we've gotten to the end, it seems appropriate that we would have the new master list of changes, and then whether one person has highlighted them yellow or somebody remembers and circled them or whatever, then they would exist and we can talk about how we change.
I agree.
And I think some of the yellow sections were noted that way because we had to review the appendices. So like the planning standards, you guys wanted to go back over there and make sure that everything was still how you wanted it. And then as far as the street tree list as well, I think that was part of it. So you wanted to review those first and then go change those sections again once you had been clear on what was in there.
It's talked about planning standards, and I remember specifically saying we already haven't adopted planting standards by council.
Right.
But out of here, there were a couple of sentences here and there that, hey, those aren't bad. Those are good to add. So okay. So we need to go over what would be good to add into the planting guidelines and so forth.
Okay, so are we going to review the appendices first and then go back to those sections like we originally planned, or do you want to?
Yeah, I think we would, but I think in order to get the appendices right, we would want to see what it is that we said.
Okay.
We don't want to keep referring to the old version and then...
Go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Because that's why I've saved these books, because they're highlighted and they've got the cleaned up markings versus the old one, and clearer to read. Also, we'll be going back to other things like chapter heritage trees. There's stuff to go over.
Right.
And there's a couple small errors that I found, just a line here or there that needs to be changed. Nothing bad, little tidbit stuff.
Okay. Right.
Now, is that based on your notes or on actual what we agreed to?
What the
like you, the additional edits?
They're just stuff that one we just overtly missed it, meaning Arist Public Works. I found a spot where it needs to be.
Okay.
Stuff like that. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Medical edits. And stuff
That's all I'm talking about. I found that. Okay. And then I found something else that we talked about. The ANSI was expensive, and we would go with the was it the ISA updates ISA. And stuff. ISA. Then I realized, hey, wait a minute. We need to go back to another chapter because it said the same thing about ANSI, so we need to update it to match with the ISA.
Yeah.
Little stuff like that. It's not drama.
So is your plan, Chris, to go or to come back to Appendix E and the street tree list, or you want the whole thing and then we do? Or
well, I would like to, if we could, to, is go over Appendix F and make Appendix E last, because that's just, it doesn't cross over with all the text and everything. I mean, I'd like to clean up all the verbiage stuff in the thing, and then our tree list is, you know, the last thing. I would like to do it that way, but
so did you want this the city to make all the, you know, corrections, finish copy, and then come back to this? I'm just a little confused as your timeline.
You still want a red line copy, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, before, we need that for everybody to look at.
Right. So we understand what we did.
And this needs to be the Appendix F, meaning council adopted.
Right.
The list, tree list, and the planting guidelines embedded with it.
Right. So what we'll be looking at, or what our reference materials are next time, are Appendix D and E, or no, Appendix E and F, which who knows what letters they'll be next time, but and
all changes up to now.
All the changes up to now, and not that we're going to be revisiting each individual section, but so that we can see what we've said, because it's been so long, and how it may affect Appendix F's more specifically.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth through different packets. It'd be nice to have just one.
Yes, it's quite a pile of paper at my house.
Yeah. So basically having one nice packet, we know something we can all reference from instead of different booklets.
Yeah, and then we can eliminate some of this.
Okay.
Perfect.
Will do.
All right, with that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.
1 minute.
You're thinking nothing's wrong, you string along, boy, then snap.